Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Power of Prayer Talk Show, where I am your hostess for the next 28 minutes, Patricia Williams. I thank each of you for tuning in on today, and I pray that your weekend was blessed and that your day has been a blessed day. I thank you for supporting this ministry so faithfully and so humbly as you have. Many of you have already contacted me, letting me know how this ministry has been a blessing to each of you. And I just ask you to continue to log on and to go into the archives and to listen to the past messages that we have talked about. Also, I would like to encourage you to call into the guest call-in number at 347-324-3622. That's 347-324-3622. And don't be afraid to also give your testimony or ask a question. We have many people that have called in and just chatted and wanted to know more or wanted to get deeper. And if you want to get deeper into the topic, and if we don't have time for the first segment, I always take it over to the next segment, to the next week, so we will have a continuation of what we talked about. We don't want anyone to be left hanging or left wondering, because that's what we are here for. We are helpers to one another. And if you don't understand something, you are free to call. And if you don't want to call and talk over the airwaves, because this show is live, so if you don't feel comfortable in talking on the radio, you may email me at faithisthekey, that's one word, faithisthekey47@gmail.com. Leave your questions. And let me know whether or not you want me to talk about them over the air, if not, to personally give you an answer as well. Today, I pray that everyone is praying for the ones that have lost loved ones, those who have been in critical times or having issues. That's why it is always good to pray. So let us go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. Spirit of the living God, I thank you for allowing us to gather together one more time in your name. God, I thank you that you did not allow death, harm, or danger to come nigh our dwelling. Father God, I ask that you would bless the broadcast. Allow your revelation, your wisdom, and your knowledge to come forth through your servants. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that someone will get clarity. I pray someone will get a revelation. I pray someone will get healed on today and set free, oh God. Father God, you said we have not because we ask not. And Father God, we ask in these things in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to be talking about emotional blackmail. The Spirit of the Lord gave me this while we was doing the other two topics of the consequences of disobeying leadership. We had 2 weeks of that, and we had some really good revelation to come forth from that. So while I was before the Lord on today, because I was just in his presence on today, because I just needed to get clarity on some situations and some things that is going on, not only in my life, but the lives of the people that I know. And I had just wanted to feel a closeness to God on today. So the Lord told me, he say, talk about emotional blackmail, because it is a lot of that is going on in the body of Christ. Emotional blackmail, and listen to me good, also stems from being disobedient to your leadership. That is one of the consequences, because it feels like if you don't do as the person that is making you disobey leadership tell you to do, they can blackmail you emotionally, probably by things that you have told them or things that they have seen you do. And if you don't do what they say do, they will play it back, say, well, I got this on you, and if that you don't do what I say do, I'm going to go back and tell what you did. That is emotional blackmail. And you have to come to a point to where dealing with emotional blackmail is the part, it can be very toxic. It can be very toxic, not only to you, but to the things around you can also be toxic as well. Emotional blackmail also happens when a person equates his or her emotional pain with another person's failure to love. Come on, somebody. It equates. Equates means it can equal to someone's pain, their personal pain, or what they go through. And emotional blackmail is very, very high in the body of Christ on today. When a person is being emotionally blackmailed, they are not the same. A person may love well, and the beloved still feel hurt. They pull out all the love they can towards someone else, but in all alone, they are hurting themselves. They are searching how to love because they don't know how to love, because they feel since they done poured so much into the person they thought that they was their friend, they are emotionally trying to do whatever the person say do. It's just like a puppet on a string. Emotional blackmail is a tactic the people closest to us can use to hurt and to manipulate us, whether intentionally or whether unintentionally. It can also use a person's weakness, their secrets, and vulnerability against us to get exactly what they want from us. So those are the things we're going to talk about. Well, praise the Lord. Apostle AJ, how are you doing on today?
I'm blessed, woman of God. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Okay. It's good to have you. It's good to have you on. Can you hear me, or is everything okay?
Oh, yes. I can hear you perfect.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, great. We was getting into the discussion of emotional blackmail. I was telling the people that even though the past two topics we talked about the consequences of disobedience to your leadership, you may have a person that you are attached to that is not that are not obeying leadership, but have you following them. And when you come to the point to where you see where you are walking wrong in an era that you are coming against your leader by disobeying them, and you choose to do right, a person can use emotional blackmail once that you have opened your spiritual eyes. So can you elaborate more on that topic?
Woman of God, I'm finding now inside of the body of Christ we're experiencing people who are having are being blackmailed by their emotions inside of the church. There's a situation now. I don't know if everybody in Radio Land pay attention to social media, but right now with Apostle David Taylor, and they say a lot of things about how he manipulates people and how he, you know, emotionally uses people's issues and their feelings to turn around and to either preach about it or to emasculate them with it. And woman of God, I found it to actually in some instances be true. We have to be mindful of that, because when you enter into a person's most sacred place and deliberately try to go in and try to break them emotionally, when they're most broken and most vulnerable, you sit yourself in a seat to be judged. And a lot of people are doing it, woman of God, in the name of the Lord. And that what some people are doing, that's not correction. That is emasculating some people. And you don't, and people who are emotionally scarred like that, you say, well, obedience is better than sacrifice. No, you are milking those people by way of their emotions to get what you want out of them. And that is nothing but manipulation that comes directly from the enemy. That is what a cult looks like. When somebody tries to deliberately play on your emotions and deliberately tries to come in and reverse all your beliefs and your thought processes by controlling you just because you're at a vulnerable state.
My God. So, man of God, is it safe for a person to actually pour out to a person, because the first time they would not do what they say, they can use that against them? And I have found out that most of the people that go through this, they have been a church hurt, and they cannot trust anymore because of what they've been through. So what do you think about that? Because the church and people say they have been church hurt, and then I know we have some people that has been church hurt, and they are scared to release what is going on with them. So what can you tell people? Like,
you cut out on that last part, woman of God. Can you say that again?
Okay, we have some people that are church hurt, and they are afraid to express themselves because they feel like whoever they confide in may use that against them in the body of Christ. So what can you tell them, those that are hiding some stuff that they want to release but they can't?
Woman of God,
so what can
when you have people who have experienced church hurt and they have an issue with releasing things. Woman of God, I don't know if you have experienced church hurt, but I have. And it's a lot of things that people experience in church hurt.
Yes.
And I was looking at it, and I was reading a survey that said that 71% of people who experience church hurt backslide. That's some heavy numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's some heavy numbers. But the reason why they backslide is because they give up on the whole system. Problem with that is that you have to be mindful, because if you give up on the whole system, you are plugged into the wrong connection. I hate to say it that way.
Yeah,
we cannot expect people to be we can't expect people to be like the Steven Seagal movie, be above the law. They are not bigger than God. Those pastors are not bigger than God. Those people who hurt you in church, whether it be the pastor or not, they're not above God. So anytime you set yourself up to fall when you are hurt, you are setting yourself up to be vulnerable even more to sin. People who come back to the church after they have been hurt in the church, woman of God, they come back more damaged to the church than as they left, because they go back and they do what they have to do. You have to be very mindful with that. When you are a leader, or when you are a Christian who's handling somebody who has been hurt, you have to kind of tiptoe around their emotions and vulnerability, and you constantly have to be firm but contrite. And you might be like, well, that's kind of hard. How you be firm but contrite? You almost have to do what a parent do. I love you, but I'm gonna whoop you, or I'll do this, but I'm gonna do that. And you have to be as transparent as you can with somebody who's had church hurt and who's most vulnerable. And when they open up to you, the best thing to do is not find them at fault. and not and not also sugarcoat what happened to them, but find a happy medium where you could identify what their issue is and build rapport and trust with them so that they'll understand that not everybody in the church is the same.
Amen. God, also, it takes a person sent by God to deal with a person that is emotionally hurt, you know, that has been church hurt, because those are some people that are a walking time bomb. It takes,
yes.
I mean, nobody can just approach them. That's why it has to be sent, a person that has to be sent by God to allow them to minister to their spirit so they can heal, because they have all that hurt that is down on the inside. And the first thing they will attack is the leaders, because they say they are manipulative, they just want money, they just this and they just that, because they have been church hurt. And that's one thing about a church hurt. They just attack everybody in the church. They think everybody in the church is wrong when it's just only that one person. Man of God, have you ever dealt with a person that has some emotional issues stem from the church?
Yes. For some people, woman of God, that's where all the issues come from. And I hate to say it that way. But that's where all the issues come from. When those people was in the world smoking they weed and drinking and doing everything else, they were out of the ark of safety, but they wasn't emotionally damaged. They were mindful of what they do. We are now, we got some preachers, we got some churches bring people in and plant them on the wall and do target practice with them, and then after they get target practice applied on them, well, what's wrong with you? Aren't you saved? Aren't you delivered? Aren't you set free? No, what I need to be saved from is you, because I done gave up the ghost of all my old stuff, but the problem I'm having now is that you beat me up worse than a woman who have an abusive husband. And that the lifeline of some people's issues, woman of God, sit in the church. Why? Because they see too much, they told too much, and they mishandled too much.
Exactly. Exactly. That is so true. And, you know, man of God, there's so many people that's walking around here hurt and disputing anger, hurt, and everything else within them. Honesty is far more gone. It's rather they are walking around here detecting everybody in the church, whether this person is going to hurt me or not, or then can I trust this person again. Man of God, what can you tell a person who is carrying this heavy load? What will you tell them to open up again? Because some people, they are so upset with the church, they won't even accept a Christ. They are even mad at a Christ because of what has happened to them. That's why I said earlier, it takes a very special person from God to deal with a people like this, because they are hurt. And how could you tell, what can you tell them to open up to a Christ again? Because everybody is not like what they went through.
Woman God, I'm going to tell you, I understand people who are like that, because at a time after I was hurt inside of the church, I blamed God for not protecting me. But as I looked at it, woman of God, I had to learn that it wasn't God not protecting me. It was me not protecting myself. We cannot expect people to go beyond scripture. We cannot expect people to move mountains when we won't walk over hills. You hear what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
So at the same time, look, Jesus was betrayed. What make you think you're not going to be betrayed? Who was Jesus betrayed by? Those who was praising with him. Those who worshiped with him.
Mm-hmm.
Who saw him do miracles.
Sure yes, he was.
Unfortunately, some of the biggest crooks are inside of the church. And
yes,
I hate to say it that way. I could write, woman of God, I could write you a list right now of
my
apostles and bishops right now that drive business, but they got it by fleecing the sheep. And woman of God, and I hate to say it this way. They stealing money, a part of Ponzi scheme. Woman of God, they kiting from one checking account to the other. They name in the church is good, but when the folks see them when they walk into banks and finance companies and everything else, I'm like, oh my God, here she go, or here he go. He ready to beg again. Maybe they in the church.
Okay.
But you got to be wise enough when you study the scripture to know when to open up about these things and to understand that you got to understand the parable of what is a wheat and what is a chaff.
Yeah,
and when you understand that parable of what is a wheat and what is a chaff, you'll understand that it's the chaff that's tangible and have no value, but it's the wheat that are constantly get cut and get grown again. And that really explains the church. So when you find yourself not wanting to open up and telling God to prove himself to you so that he can trust you so that you may be open and you may be broken, you need to find a happy median on why you need to open up to God and ask him how to gut all that stuff out of you that hurt you and that emotionally damage you, especially inside of the church. Because until then, listen, those people are walking around free. Those people ain't got a care in the world. They ain't about to repent to you. Reason why is because a lot of church folks feel they don't do nothing wrong. So they not about to repent to you. So don't sit down and pump and wait for a sorry you ain't never going to get. So it's very important that you understand that you have to learn from your experience. And because of that, your best weapon against all of that is you continue to open up and you continue to go again. There was a lady I was listening to on TV the other day, woman of God, and she said, I've been engaged 3 times. She said the reason why the men kept leaving me is because I refuse to give myself in the biblical sense because I knew who I was and I know how precious my loins was. She said, but when the fourth man came, he said, don't worry about it. I don't want to have premarital sex. I just want to worship with you. And we got to have that same mentality. We got to keep pushing the door to the glass break in the body of Christ because that's the only way we're going to win. The Bible says the race is not given to the swift, neither the battle to the strong, but it's for the one who endured to the end.
Ooh, this is so good. And I am so glad that they can, and man of God, they still can be used by God. They just got to get everything out and just allow God to work on them because nothing is never wasted. There is always hope in everything we do. So that's why we are telling the people, you haven't lost anything. You know what it is. You know where it's coming from. Now is your time to say, God, I want to be used by you. Remove this. Remove this. Because a woman of God was telling me they was up praying, and the lady wanted God so much. But there was one little hindrance. Unforgiveness from way back then in her life that was hindering her from getting the fullness of God. And once she forgave everybody and then everything else that had happened to her, now God can really use her. And now she is really living for God. So we are at the point now, God wants your total yes in this season, man of God. So, man of God, you have any last words for the people?
It's woman of God. It's time for the people of God. It's time for all of us to live our best life. Not the life
yes.
we portray. Not the
Come
life
on,
we
now.
Lie about. And not the life that we rob Peter to pay Paul the show. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to drive the Benz. Not just drive the
mm-hmm.
Benz. I want to own it. I don't want to
own
be
it.
No car
Come
owner.
On now.
I want to own the
yes,
dealership.
Yes.
I want to own 20 houses. I do not want
yes.
to be renting 20 houses. You know what I'm saying? So it's very important that we understand it's time for us to be living our best life. Live our best life
mm-hmm.
by being free emotionally. Live our best
yes.
life by being free financially. Live our best
yes.
life by being free to worship. It's very important
yes.
that, it, and it's time that the people of God live the best life in the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. I thank you so much for tuning in today, Apostle. Apostle, you have a blessed week, you and your family. And I thank everybody for tuning in on today. Until next week, everyone have a blessed week. And God bless each of you. Thank you, Apostle.
Amen. God bless.
God bless Amen. You.